Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us begin this afternoon worship service with the singing of Psalter 134, stanzas 1 and 2. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. Men sing thy praise, O God, where'er thy name is known. By every deed thy hand hath wrought, thy righteousness is shown. From Psalter 134, stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 21, the verses 1 through 17. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now read from Matthew 21, the verses 1 through 17. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt. With her loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway He will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of a foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, that thou hast perfected praise? And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. That's for the reading of God's word. Let us try to seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. Almighty and eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in this afternoon that Thou hast brought us together round about Thy word and holy testimony. And now we just have read out of Thy words, and there we have heard Thou hast said to the people in the temple, My house shall be called a house of prayer. Now we are not in the temple, but still we are in Thy house. what shall also be called the house of prayer, wherein we may lay all our needs, all our concerns, all our wants before thee. And thou knowest how we have come up to thy house of prayer in this afternoon. And thou knowest each one's heart. Thou knowest what lives in our minds, in our, goes through our thoughts, and that we may lay this flock before thee. Thy servant is at another place, and that we may lay him before thee, that thou give him help and strength to do the labors in Calvary. But wilt thou then also be with us here in this afternoon, that we may experience thy help, thy nearness, that we may experience that thou knowest of us in speaking and in listening, because thy servant need to be led by thy Spirit, but also in listening, when we may sit here, we need also to be led by thy Spirit, otherwise we can hear thy word, but it will not enter into the heart. Wilt thou then be with thy Spirit in our midst and give a blessing from on high? Wilt thou remember, so young and old, thou knowest what lives in the hearts of our children. They have come up to thy house. They may hear thy words. They know perhaps also the history, what we have read. But Lord, wilt thou then bring it into the hearts also of these little children? Or when in the history which we have read, we see those children, they were singing, they were praising the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, what would that be a wonder if that also is experienced in the midst of the congregation? If our children also may sing to thy honor and to thy glory. What is a wonder that they may sing the psalms, that they may sing also the songs. But Lord, it is also so necessary for them to sing them with their hearts, not only by knowing them by their heads, but also by their hearts. Wilt thou then remember in mercy? Wilt thou work by thy Spirit in their young lives? It's the best time to seek thee, also the best time also to find thee. Lord, thou hast said it so often in thy words, those who seek thee early shall find thee. Lord, wilt thou then use the preaching of thy word in this afternoon for them, or that it may be as an arrow, it goes into their hearts, also in the hearts of our young people, the youth of the congregation, our rising generation. Wilt thou convert them? Wilt thou teach them? And wilt thou then also work by thy Spirit in their hearts? Lord, there is so much what draws them away from the truths of thy words. But Lord, wilt thou then be stronger than all what the world can give them? And with those ties which the world tries to bind them unto themselves. But Lord, wilt thou then give that thy words may sink in their hearts, also in our older ones, fathers and mothers, men and women, or they may sit here, perhaps after a busy week, and perhaps they are already thinking what will come in the next week, or tomorrow they have to do this, and in the next following day, they have to do that. But Lord, wilt thou take it away for a moment? Everything what stands in the way, what stands in the way of thy free course of thy word, and wilt thou then be mindful of each one of them. Also think of our older people, the seniors in the midst of the congregation. Wilt thou remember them too? They have been here for many years, perhaps. Listen to thy words, have heard thy words. But has that word now ever sank in their hearts? Wilt thou then give so that they may receive an ear to hear and an heart to observe? Work by thy Spirit so in their hearts and life. Remember also those who cannot gather together with us, those who may listen along by the way of the means. Also think of our seniors who are in the care home. Lord, will thou also be mindful of them. Remember the sick and the afflicted ones. Thou knowest what lives in the midst of the congregation. If there are concerns, if they are on the doctor's care, if they have to undergo treatments, will thou then give help and strength and bless the means. We lay before thee also the mourning families, widows and widowers. Will thou remember them all? Thou knowest the grief what there is in each one's heart. For some it is recently that a loved one fell away. For another it has perhaps been years ago, but those wounds are still felt. Will thou then remember them? And will thou fill those empty places with thyself? Teach us to make haste for our life's sake, because we are travelers through this time to an all-decisive eternity. Lord, will thou then remember in mercy? Lord, will thou so be with the consistory? Thou knowest what they need. Thy servant here in this place, the elders, the deacons, will thou provide for them, will thou watch over them, and will thou gladden them by thy deeds? And if Arden would be a wonder, O Lord, but will thou also prepare in the midst of the congregation men who may serve in the office as an elder, as a deacon, and could it be also as a minister? Lord, will thou send forth laborers into the vineyard? Soon we will read again the call what comes to us. If there are who feel that calling to the ministry in their hearts, to come forward, and Lord, will thou then call men from darkness to light? It's the most important, but also that they may come forward to serve in thy vineyard, that they may labor in the midst of the congregation and denomination. And to that end, we may also lay our mission field before thee. O will thou be with thy presence with them, strengthen and uphold them who may labor there. Thou knowest often in lonely places, but will thou remember them, and will thou visit them with thy presence. Remember also him who is being prepared for the mission field out of this congregation. May he also experience together with his wife and children that thou knowest of him, help and strengthen in the studies which he may do at this present time, but also soon when he must leave for language training, and then later when he must leave also to be sent out to the mission field. May he experience that thou knowest of him, and will thou provide in everything. Lord, will thou remember so the school? Will thou work by thy Spirit among our children in the school, teachers, staff, and all those who may labor in the school, and what position they may have? Will thou help them and provide for them? And will thou make the school also a blessing in the midst of our community? Remember also the school board, also a weighty task which lays upon them. And will thou give wisdom in all the matters which are placed before them? Will thou remember so the work, all the work which is done in thy vineyard? And if we think of thy servants, we think also of the student The theological school, will thou bless them with thy blessings. Remember also this country. May lay the needs before thee. They are manifold. Open our eyes, also the eyes of our leaders. Also the way which they go is not good, Lord. Oh, then many concerns can fill the heart, because when we go away, which is not according to thy word, what must we expect? Lord, we cannot expect thy blessing resting upon it. Lord, wilt thou then remember them, convert them unto thee? Remember so our government, federal, provincial, but also here locally. Wilt thou remember them all? And those who try to steer in a more biblical way, Lord, wilt thou give them courage, help them, strengthen them, and that we may be much upon our knees also for our nation. Because we can point fingers to our government, but that we may also point fingers to ourselves, because we also belong to this nation. And when we may rightly feel that, then we will not stand above them, but we will humble ourselves. Lord, remember so each one individually. And so we stand at the beginning of this service. Wilt thou then give opening in thy word? May there be Aaron's and hers in the midst of the congregation. But will above all that thy spirit may guide into the truth, that there may be a word for young and old, converted and unconverted, or that this service may be used by thee also to the extension of thy kingdom, that new ones may be born in Zion. What a wonder that would be, O Lord. Lord, wilt thou not pass us by, but wilt thou do wonders, but that also thy Zion may receive a token for good, or that thy word also may be blessed for them. Or we can be so cold, so lifeless inwardly, that knows how it lies for each one of the true Zion. Wilt thou then revive them, that the eyes may be directed to thee? Work by thy Spirit, lead further on the way of salvation. Give exercises in faith, and Lord, teach them, and guide and protect. And wilt thou then be in our midst in this afternoon? We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll sing from Psalter 320, the 5 stanzas. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. Psalter 320, the 5 stanzas. Dear congregation, we read a remarkable history in God's Word. Our children also know that history. David has come to the army of Saul. Saul, or David, has come one of those captains. And he went before the people in and out. We know that. And the Lord has prospered his way. And the Lord has made it so well. And every time when he comes back from the battlefield, then the Lord has given the victory again. The people also love David because they see that the Lord is with him. The Spirit of the Lord is in him. And it comes a day and they come back again from the battlefield. And then women went out and they began to sing. And then we read in 1 Samuel 18 verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And then something happened. Saul also heard that. What does he say? They gave to David 10,000 and me only 1,000. Envy and angry fills his heart. Often takes place, or what if an other has it better than we do, then envy can sometimes so take over, so the feelings of our hearts, perhaps we do not always say it, but it can so live inside. Saul also mentioned it. He begins to, then hatred fills his heart. You see it in his eyes. Tries to kill David. What happened to David was not strange. It also happened to David's son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He also has to experience that. When they sang, when they spoke well of him, then envy and hatred was the answer of the scribes and Pharisees. It's what we would like to see in this afternoon. The words of our text, you can find it in the portion what we read together, Matthew 21. Now verse 15 and 16 as our text. Matthew 21, verse 15 and 16. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and singing, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what he say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? With the help of the Lord, we would like to speak in this afternoon, Christ in the temple, because he was there. Christ in the temple. Children, try to remember also the points. If then your parents come home, they ask you, and you can say, these were the points. So, Christ in the temple. In the first place, crying children. Not that they were weeping, but you hear them, as it were, crying out, speaking well of Christ. Secondly, displeased rulers. And in the third place, an exalted Christ. Christ in the temple. First, crying children. Because we read so in verse 15, we read so in the second part of the text, and saying, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. So they were speaking well of Christ. In the second place, displeased rulers, because it is about those Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, they come and they were sore displeased. So they were displeased with Christ. And in the third place, an exalted Christ. Because what does the Lord say? He says, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." So Christ will receive the honor and the glory which is due to him. May then the Lord lead us into the truth in speaking and in listening. Dear congregation, we have this chapter in front of us which comes close also to the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is on the way to Jerusalem, had entered Jerusalem. And if the Lord gives it also in the next week, then the Passion Week hopes to begin. So at the end of the weeks, which we just before the Passion Weeks, we thought also to go to this little history. Christ is going on the way to Jerusalem. And then we read in verse 1, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage," then we read some things remarkable. Then the disciples have to go out, children, youth, you know the history. They have to go out to get that foal, colt of the ass, and they have to bring them to Christ. And they do. They listened. They bring them to Christ. Why was that? Also, the prophecy needed to be fulfilled. What we read, so in verse 4, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of a foal of an ass." So it was according to God's word. So he was coming, entered into Jerusalem. And how is it then, the entering into Jerusalem? What did he do? Then they put clothes, we see that in verse 7, they put him on that ass, they put clothes on it, they cut off branches of the trees, and it was a procession when he went into Jerusalem. And the multitude, we read in verse 9, that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." We know Hosanna, that is a word what is taken out from Psalm 118. We just sang it together. Then in Psalm 118 we read in verse 25 and 26, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." So Hosanna is another Hebrew word, which then originally there were two words, and it means save, we pray. It can also mean give, we pray. It is also praying for happiness and prosperity. What do the people do here? When they sing here these hosannas, then they sing also about Christ in his kingly office. We know Christ has those three offices. He is the prophet, priest, and king. We have seen him also in the chapters before this. He is a great prophet and teacher. Because how many times do we have heard him preaching? How many times have we heard him also to bring that word to a poor and a needy people? He is a great prophet. He is soon to also to be revealed as that great prophet, priest, because he will go that way of suffering and dying, that we will meet with him as that great high priest. But now when he enters into Jerusalem, then we see him here now also as that great king entering into Jerusalem. And when the people see him then coming, see him so coming, entering Jerusalem, they think this goes the right way. Or they still had such an earthly thought about Christ and his coming, about Christ and his work. Or they thought, and they were longing for a Christ who would deliver them from the hands of the Romans, a Christ who would be as great as David and as Solomon were as old. So then, a king, an earthly king, an earthly expectation. That was not what Christ came for. He was that heavenly kingdom, and he is that great king. But now in this chapter, we still see something of that kingly office of Christ. So when he enters into Jerusalem, and it comes a question, who is he now? Who is now this man? Who is now he who comes there? And then they answer, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. And so we see him going into Jerusalem, see him going into the temple. And when he comes there in the temple, then he is very displeased with what he sees. Because what does it look like when he comes there? What does he see? He says, himself, you have made it a den of thieves. Many who were selling and buying their doves, money changers. And then verse 12, it says, then he overthrew those tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. What a lesson lies in this. We see the holy zeal in Christ, same as some years ago. Because in John 2, we also read how he has cleansed the temple. And then in John 2, we read, and then the disciples then remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. Well, I was preparing this portion to think, what would take place? What would Christ do if he would enter also our churches? What would he see, dear congregation? If he would enter our houses, if he would enter your room, young people, children, older ones, what would the Lord Jesus then see? Would he then also be displeased with what he sees, what is against his words and his holy testimony? Or is it differently? How is it in your own heart, dear congregation? And when the Lord, by his discovering grace, shows a little of what lives in the heart, you will not stand above what is written here. And you will not look down upon these Jews. No. And you will say, if the Lord would come and look in my heart, then the Lord would do the same. Because that evil existence of ourselves, oh, may then our eyes also be opened for that. It still lies a deep lesson in it. Parents, older ones, what does enter our homes? What does enter our churches? That we must also, ask one another, is that also that it, according to God's word, according to God's holy testimony, or is it that you say, I'm afraid the Lord would also turn that table upside down if you would see that on my table. Or that we then also may do that, that cleansing of our homes and our hearts. Oh, then cannot do it from ourselves, I know that. But then seek then the Lord, seek then also His presence, and seek then also that Lord, and ask then if the Lord also will give them that strength also to do so. If the Lord will open your eyes that you may see it rightly. We see more what Christ does, not only that He cleansed the temple, but we see that He also heals the sick and the afflicted. Because in verse 14 we read, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. There is also the prophecy fulfilled, what we read in Isaiah 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall break waters out and streams in the desert. So the prophecies are being fulfilled. Christ shows something of that kingly office, and it makes the children to cry. Now they begin to cry and to sing. To sing also those hosannas we have heard so in the beginning. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So we hear them singing. We hear them crying. How do they know that? How have they learned that song? Did they know that sentence? Or had they learned that from their parents? Or did they learn that in their schools? Does not say it in God's words. We know the multitude have cried this. Perhaps they have heard it. And they have repeated what they have heard. So they sang the songs what they have heard before. Children, what songs do you sing? Parents, what songs do you teach your children? What is heard in our homes? May I ask you that question? Do our children hear the songs of praise, the psalms, let's say psalters? Or do they hear the songs of the world in the homes? Parents, there lies also a duty for you. What do we teach our children? What do we lay and set before them? Because they begin to repeat what they hear. And now these children, they may sing, and they sing what they have heard in their homes. What a lesson lies in it. Therefore, parents, do not raise up your children for the world, but raise them up in the fear of thy name, in of God's name. Be also an example for them. Or that we would teach also the children the language of Canaan. You say, but that is too difficult for them. We so often hear that. The language we hear in the church, or the language which is in the Bible, or the language what the preaching is so difficult. We cannot follow that. Parents, older ones, what can be the reason that we cannot follow it? Do we hear only this language when we are in church? Or is it also that you may hear that during the week, that you may read God's word, that you study God's word, that you also listen to that word of God, and when there is an opportunity, also go up to God's house to hear what the Lord has to say unto us. Our children, they also listen. Our children see what you do. Our children are very sensible in that regard. Or that you also may them be as an example to them. And do not say too quickly, it is too difficult. How old were these children here? We know children were taken along to the temple when they were 12 years old. Only remember the history of Christ being taken to the temple when he was 12 years. But when we read this history, then you see these children most likely were even younger. They were even younger than 12 years who were singing. Therefore, also so clearly shows us we do not need to be old children to be converted. In a young age, we can also die. We know that. But as a young age, we can also be converted. In history, we also have the examples. There are examples in God's words that young children are converted. And also from history, we have heard it many times. How the Lord has worked that grace in the heart, even of very little ones. Do you know what Reverend Ledeboer wrote to his children? The children in the church, he has a very beautiful poem when he says, "Seek ye Jesus early, seek Jesus much. If you have Jesus, you have enough." And then we read also in the Proverbs 8 verse 17, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." What do these children sing? What do they cry? We touched on it in the beginning. They were singing those hosannas. And that they sang that hosanna. And what does that mean? Save us. And wishing prosperity. We know Christ is here on the way to the cross. Do you feel now? Do you see? Also that word what they sing, what a deep meaning it has. Christ on the way to the cross to fulfill, to be under that justice of God. And now there is a people, these children, they say, save us. But also that at work may be prospered. What must it have been for Christ when he have heard that, save us? How could he save the people? Only in that way, going to the cross, so in suffering and in his death. That was the only way to save his people. And now these children, they sing. They sing about save us. But also may thy way be prospered. And Christ hears that. He listens to it. It was also the way, the work, what Christ had to do when he was here on earth. The way to save his people. What a rich lesson lies then concealed in this short history. I may ask a question, so to you, Fort MacLeod. Is there still here a people, also in Fort MacLeod, who does not know how they must be saved? Who have experienced in their life that they stood outside of Christ, that they could not be, or that they could not give the honor and the glory to him which they were due to give him, who have seen what has taken place, paradise, that they have turned their back unto God, never to return anymore. They have seen that they could not stand before that holy and just and righteous God. Still such a people here. Or then they have tried to save themselves, have tried to do all they could also to be righteous before God. Again, comes that seeking. Comes that they try to purge out that old leaven. This morning, in Lethbridge, we have spoken of it. Purge out the old leaven. Oh, then there begins that trying. It needs to go out. They begin to seek. Where is that old leaven? Where is it what has made up that breach between the Lord and my soul? How can that taken away? They begin to not only to flee from sin, not to just to avoid sin, but they begin to hate sin. They begin to say, away with it. What can I do? I have never to do, nothing to do with that sin anymore. I want to have got rid of it. Sin, such a burden. And in all that they did, all that they tried to get to become clean before God, to become holy before God, they have learned, I cannot come where I ought to be and where I wish to be. Begin to see more and more, become so hopeless from their sight. Hopeless case from their sight. Is there such a people still here in Fort MacLeod? And now we begin go back also to this history. Then a Christ coming to Jerusalem. Why? To fulfill also what he has promised to do. I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. It was his desire to do the will of God. And what was the will of God? That he would give that full satisfaction also to the justice of God. And now there's a people begin to learn something through that prophetical work of Christ, have been taught of the necessity of the priestly work of Christ. Do you follow that congregation? Is a people who may learn something of Christ. They may see him through the letters of his words, or when Christ reveals himself in his word, or when he speaks through them through that word, or when he speaks also to them in a prophetical office, I will come, but now they see also the necessity of that priestly work of Christ. Next week, when also the Passion Weeks will begin, you will also hear more of that priestly work of Christ. And now there is a people who begins to see the necessity of that prophetical, or the priestly work of Christ. And now they begin also to cry with these children. They begin also to cry, save us, Hosanna. Save us. And they begin also, O Lord, may thy work be prospered, or may I also belong among that, or for whom thou hast suffered, for whom thou hast also gone that way into death, but also to be risen again. That we read more in this portion. We read not only of Hosanna, we read also of the son of David. We know that's the word, that expression, the son of David. We find that throughout God's word. It was promised to David that out of his loins should come forth the Christ. And we read in Psalm 132, the Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body I will set upon thy throne. And now the time also of that spiritual kingdom is coming. The time of that spiritual kingdom, or that it may have prosperity. Do you now hear again? Hosanna, blessed is he. Hosanna to the son of David. That we see again Christ in his kingly office. Christ, the son of David, was a comfort also for the apostle John at Patmos, where we read of John when he saw him as the son of David. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Crying children. Now in our second place, we would like to consider displeased rulers. We would think, congregation, when Christ comes to Jerusalem, they have seen that the scriptures are fulfilled. They have seen what all has taken place. They have seen the sick, they were healed. The lame, they walked. They have even seen that the dead was raised again. And to the poor, the gospel was preached. When they have seen it all, you would think, now they will believe him. They will bow before him. They will now see, this is now the Christ, the Messiah, who will come. But what do we read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14? And that is so true also for the history, what we have in front of us. There we read, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We read a very strong words in this text, and they were sore displeased. So they were not only such a little, or that's just, I don't like it. No, they were sore displeased, or they were full of hatred. They were full of enmity against the Lord. They heard the children wishing the God's blessing to Christ. And how could they do that? Oh, then these priests, the Pharisees, they were united in enmity against Christ. They began to reprove Christ, because then they say, and we can read that, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, then they were sore displeased. Say, they have to keep quiet. They may not speak. They may not speak well of Christ. They may not speak well of the Messiah. They may not speak well. How do these children dare to do so? And why is it that Christ allows so to do? And then they say, those children has to keep quiet. Does the Lord say to them? He said, no, they don't have to stay quiet. When I was studying this portion, I had to think of what has taken place also in when Christ was anointed by Mary. We know when the Last Supper, when Judas, the disciples, they sat there, they saw also that woman coming, anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with that precious ointment. And then we read also that they were displeased with it. Or that they could also not. Or they were actually also angry with this woman. There's nothing new. What takes place here, and I mentioned in the beginning, so of King Saul, when Saul also saw the honor was given to David, he was also so displeased, so displeased. Therein we see what natural man is by nature. They will not, they cannot give the glory to God, which is due to him. No. And then we read in verse 16, Then we read, and said unto them, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read? So Christ begins to reprove these priests and these scribes. Have you never read? It is as if the Pharisees, the scribes, says to Christ, Wilt thou remain silent and allow these infants to give thee an honor that no one of the rulers has ever given thee? Can you allow that? You may. Thou mayest not do so. Or the priest, the scribes, they have never believed on him. But now we have to come back to ourselves. How is now with you, congregation? How is now in our hearts? Did we give him the honor which he is due to receive? You say, I'm faithfully come to church. I sit in God's house, listen to God's words. But have we ever given him the honor which he was due? People of God, have you done so? You say, I have tried. Oh, it was a time in my life I thought I could, and I did. But more and more, I have to experience from my side, I cannot do it. What do they need? Again, now we have to go back to what those children have cried. Hosanna, save us. Lord, wilt thou then do it? Wilt thou then work it in me? Wilt thou then give that I may do so, that I may give the honor to thee, that I may live also to thy honor more? Save us. Lord, wilt thou then deliver me from my misery? Wilt thou deliver me from my sin? Wilt thou take away all my guilt? Save us. I need thy righteousness. I need so to be delivered from that sin and iniquity. And if thou dost not do so, or if thy way will not be prospered, then I am lost. Or there comes a need in such a heart, comes a need for Christ. Had there ever become such a need also in your heart, in your life, for this Christ? And if we remain now in our enmity, if we now remain as we are, we will never sing. Or that maybe we can sing here the psalters in the church. Perhaps we sing in school, we sing in our homes. But we will never sing till all eternity, only those for whom it will become true, save us, to be saved by him. May the Lord teach us that, by the first time or by renewal, Christ takes it up for these children, and we hope to see that in our last point. But let us sing first from Psalter 14, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. Psalm 14, stanza 1, 2, and 7. O Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how excellent thy name. Thy glory thou hast spread afar in all the starry frame. Psalter 14, 1, 2, and 7. Christ in the temple, crying children, displeased rulers, and an exalted Christ. What is now the answer which Christ gives to these priests and scribes? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Christ not alone allows these children to sing. Christ not only gives them the permission to give the glory to him, but he says also that they should do it. So no, he will not stop them of singing, but that they have to go and continue with them. We see what he takes place here in the temple, also a fulfillment of what we read in God's word. And we sang that together, and when we read in Psalm 8, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength of thine enemies, that thou mayest still the enemies and the avenger. So Christ was glorified by these children, and Christ was pleased with it. I've mentioned in the beginning of David. David, who was saluted by those women, by those who came to him when he came back from the war. So even more, Christ must be exalted. Christ was not ashamed to be served by children. No, those children, it was an honor unto him to be praised by him, children, or that it also may be given, or when you may sing, and when you may sing the Psalters, and when you may also recite also these texts from God's word, when you may give them also for your teacher in the classroom, always do it with reverence. When you sing, sing with reverence, but the Lord is also pleased with it. The Lord also used, and we see it in this portion, that the Lord has used it to the honor of his most holy name. What does the Lord do in answering these adversaries? He answered them with God's word. Very clearly points out what is written in God's word. When we see in the next chapter, in chapter 22, he also answered them. He says, you do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. So it is also here, as he says to these priests, scribes, he says, you do not know the power of God. And how true is that? For when we see in Israel, in the Israelites, then we must acknowledge that still that veil lies upon them. They do not see that the Messiah of the scriptures is born. Some of them do, we know that. But in general, that veil is still upon them. When we come a little closer, so to you, to me, congregation, is that veil being taken away for us? Do we know the scriptures? Do we also know the power of that scripture? Do we know also the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts through that scripture? There lies a deep lesson also in this portion. God's word must have the highest authority in our life. And how is it now with you and with me? We also see in this portion God's tender care when it speaks about the children. That we read in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are without young. Congregation, comes our question to you and to me. Have we become now also those little children? No, it is not only a word for the children itself, but now to all of us. Have we become such a child before the Lord? And has done ever experienced also that the Lord has fed you through that word and by his Spirit? We can so easily go on, come to God's house, sit here, listen to the word, and we go home. Perhaps if we say a few words of what we have heard, we drink coffee, and we begin a new week. Has that word ever sink in your heart? Did that word go along with you? And congregation, did you ever become also as such a child before the Lord? What a blessing that would be. But also a lesson how the Lord takes care for children. And I may also point that out in this afternoon. I see many children also in the congregation, those little ones. Or that you also may learn also to sing to his honor and to his glory. And when only can that take place, children? That is true for you, it's true for your parents, it's true for your grandparents, only by that wonder of free and sovereign grace must be glorified in your heart, my heart, to become a little child. Or then must we be upon our knees, congregation, if the Lord would teach us by his word, by his Spirit, if the Lord would open our hearts, if the Lord would let us see who and what we are, but also if the Lord will teach us that way of salvation, the Lord will teach us also to sing with these children, save us, Lord, otherwise we will be lost, otherwise we perish, save us, or that thy way may be prospered. Parents, what a wonder that would be if you would see that work of grace also in the life of your children. Do you ever look for it? Or that you may be looking to your children, will the Lord also work in my child? Will the Lord also work in my grandchild? Is it also the desire of your heart? May I ask also another question? Parents, if the Lord would work in the heart of your child, would you recognize that work of grace in the heart of your child? Or would you say, there's strange things going on with my son, with my daughter. I do not understand him or her anymore. Or would gladness fill the heart? How is it now? Or do you also wrestle with your children? Do you wrestle with your grandchildren? Know that the Lord is still the same. What he has done in the time of the Bible times, what he has done also in the past, he also can work that now, also in 2025. The Lord is still the same. Oh, what a wonder that I would be, parents, if the Lord also, if it also could be said of your child. He or she, a little child, where the Lord works in with his grace in that heart. And maybe then all of us become a child before the Lord. We have to close. We read something remarkable in God's words. Matthew 11, verse 25 and 26, it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. What does the Lord say there? Oh, that we may become truly a child before the Lord. Do you know? And I sometimes, when you go through the congregation, and you speak with the young people, when you speak with the older ones, do you know what so often stands in the way? That's our own wisdom. And now we try to understand, and now we will try to reason out also the way of grace. Cannot. That we also may believe. We have a doctrine that we may believe, and what we cannot reason out. But then also to become that child, and that the Lord, by his powerful working in the heart, so may teach and instruct young and old, that it may become true for you, all of us. And those in whom the Lord has worked are then can be so often so fearful. Then the Lord Jesus says, in Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then I see there in my thoughts, that little flock, or those that have children in themselves, they fear, they think, you'll never become right with me. Fear not. It is your Father's good pleasure. He, as that great shepherd of his sheep, he stands above it. He will lead them. He will guide them. And he will bring them in that eternal glory. Oh, here by moments they may sing. Oh, like those children, they sang for a moment. But afterwards they were quiet again. So it will be in this life. But the time will come, people of the Lord, that you may sing eternally the ways of the Lord. Amen. Lord, we have come at the close of this afternoon service and also the close of this day wherein the congregation could come up to thy house of prayer. O wilt thou then bless thy words so that we could lay in the midst of them, or that we all may cry out in truth, save us, or that we may have to experience that we are sinking away, that we perish, but unto be saved by thee, and that thy way may be prospered. Lord, remember so this portion of thy vineyard. Will thou work by thy Spirit in their midst, teach, guide, and protect. Remember us also in the furtherance of this day. Keep us safe on the unsafe roads. Teach us also to keep thy day holy. Help us in the week which lies before us. Help the consistory in all the official labors they must do. And Lord, wilt thou bless them, the labors of their hands, and wilt so be with thy church all over this world. Remember us so in mercy, and forgive all what was sinful and amiss. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Close with the singing of Psalter 198, stanzas 3 and 4. Then shall thy fear on earth be known long as the sun and moon shall shine. What follows, Psalter 198, stanzas 3 and 4. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.